Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my love. And we always like to remind our listeners, should you want to re-listen to this or any of our other radio programs, they are all archived on shofarministries.net.
As well as many years of teaching newsletters.
Yeah, many years, which you can always print out to share with others. And I hope you do. Anyway, honey, please ask for God's blessing.
Okay. Abba, Father, as we enter into the season of lights, we honor and praise you as the creator of all light. Let your countenance be bright over your true church as we lift up to you our most recent prayer request, asking for your favor according to your will as we continue in the name of Jesus to render the enemy powerless over our lives. Most of all, we thank you for your Son who has cleaned us up of our major disease called sin. Please soften the hearts of our unsaved family members that they will call upon you. We thank you for your provisions and bless our faithful givers who help us stay on the air. May today's teaching be a light bulb that suddenly appears in the minds and hearts of those listening. And may you be glorified as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. What a great prayer, because for the next 2 weeks, we will be explaining the deeper truths associated with Hanukkah, a much more Christian festival than people realize.
Definitely some hidden truths that God does tell us to dig for.
And let me expound on that. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation 1 that we discussed a few weeks ago? That now we, his bride, are all kings and priests in his eyes. Well, I said that to tell you this. In Proverbs 25:2, it says that God purposely conceals things, so we, now kings and priests, will search for them.
You know, and Hanukkah is a huge golden nugget indeed.
Amazingly so. And if you are a newer listener, because I know we have a few, we can assure you that you will be blessed even more so next week. And for those of you who have heard this before, refresh yourselves. So that way you can be sure to share it over the next couple of weeks, because Hanukkah begins Sunday evening.
Yeah, also it's called the Lesser Feast of Lights.
Because the greater Feast of Lights is
Tabernacles in the fall season.
Yes, and we have explained that feast in detail yearly, and we'll touch on it again next week. By the way, both these feasts last 8 days, and the number 8 stands for eternity.
And, you know, and is Jesus' number as well, never ending.
That's right. Man is the number 6, soon to become a 7, and Jesus will always be an 8.
Amen. But first, I know you want to update our listeners on the news, especially about Israel.
I do. If you recall, last week we explained how Prime Minister Netanyahu agreed to a Gaza ceasefire from Hamas, who had been shooting many rockets into Israel. So the IDF was originally planning to increase its retaliation, but then Hamas wanted a ceasefire.
A break, so to speak.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Israel's Minister of Defense, Lieberman, said, no way, let's finish what we must do to stop them permanently.
You know, which makes total sense.
Well, it really does. However, Netanyahu did agree to the ceasefire anyway, for he did not want to escalate any war because it would draw too many of their soldiers in a war that would keep them busy down south, enabling Iran to escalate its power up north, which it has been trying to do, to possibly seize the Golan Heights.
So Lieberman got angry and quit the coalition.
I know. Which left Israel with a slim margin of only 1 in the Knesset government.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. So then Naftali Bennett, also a leader in the Knesset and of the Jewish Home Party, he said, well, I want to be defense minister, or else my party will also leave the government, and then you will have to go to early elections immediately. Well, Netanyahu called his bluff and said, he himself would be the defense minister because Bennett was too far to the right, making other members quit. So bottom line, they did compromise. Netanyahu said he would do limited retaliation in Gaza while explaining to Bennett if he left, thereby going to early elections, well, then Hamas and Iran would be very happy over the chaos it would surely cause.
Yeah, you know, the enemy would have won.
That's right. Now I think by next spring they will have to call for early elections because they really need to pick up more seats in order to pass any legislation.
Otherwise, they'd have to wait till November.
Right, and that's just too risky. But Netanyahu could possibly lose the election, and that's a whole other story that we're going to leave for another time. But I did read yesterday that Israel was conducting some drills in how to manage two wars at the same time. Wow, these are serious days, and don't forget, we are still looking for Psalm 83 to be fulfilled, which in essence would expand Israel's borders past its current walls.
Yeah, which would then help to fulfill Ezekiel 38:11.
Yes.
Okay, over here, immigration mobs have now reached our southern border.
Yes, several hundreds tried to rush the U.S. border last Sunday. U.S. agents fired tear gas into Mexico to stop the migrants from entering the country after Mexican authorities kind of lost control. Mexico now does threaten to deport the migrants who violently tried to cross the border.
You know, that's a really messy situation.
It really is. As well, Russia and the Ukraine are heating up with the Ukraine about to declare martial law.
We'll watch that this week.
Mm-hmm. And NASA has successfully touched down on Mars, delivering satellites and a robotic geologist that will explore the red planet's interior. How could you not get excited, though, landing on a planet that's like 300 million miles away?
You know, knowledge just keeps increasing.
I know. Daniel 12:4.
Yeah, that's what it says. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your continued learning and refreshing.
Okay, so there are seven major feasts and two minor feasts, Hanukkah and Purim. And they both have a great deal in common in that they had huge victories over their physical enemies. Purim was over Haman's army with his 10 sons, and Hanukkah over its enemy Antiochus Epiphanes and his great army. The Jewish uprising was started by the Hasmonean family, Jewish family, also called the Maccabees.
Meaning hammer.
That's right, which occurred during the intertestament times, but was prophesied to happen much earlier by the prophet Daniel in his 11th chapter.
Yeah, it was a perfect description of Antiochus Epiphanes,
who is a type of the Antichrist.
First, let's set up some background history to Hanukkah.
Okay. Well, there have been six world empires. Egypt was first, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally
Rome, who ruled when Jesus was born.
Yes. And will again when he returns, according to Daniel's prophecies in chapters 2 and 7, as a revived Roman Empire. But let's go back one to the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great,
who had done it all, but died from alcoholism at only 33.
Yes. And so they divided his huge empire into four sections amongst his four generals, because all of Alex's posterity, well, they were murdered.
Also, fulfilling Daniel's previous prophecy in chapter 11, verse 4.
That's right. It's all there in Scripture. Anyhow, we want to focus on the northeast area of the four divisions, which were in the fourth division, Babylon, Syria, Lebanon, and included Israel, under the leadership of the Greek Seleucids from Syria.
So, looks like a crescent on a map.
It does. Around the year 175 BC, King Seleucus IV was poisoned by his own top minister, Heliodorus, who wanted to be king, and then did for a while. But Seleucus had a distant brother, Antiochus IV, living in Rome, who, as a child, had been given to Rome as security insurance by their father, king at the time, so that the Seleucid dynasty would stay loyal to Rome and pay its promised taxes in exchange for freedom to rule on its own. Then years later, with their father dead now, Seleucus IV was now king. But he loved and missed his brother, and so was willing to exchange his own son, Demetrius, so Antiochus could finally come home. So Seleucus sent his top minister, Heliodorus, with payment money and Demetrius to Rome.
And remember, Heliodorus wanted to be king.
Yes. So he killed Seleucus instead and did not go to Rome. And so he became king, but only until Antiochus IV would be finally released by Rome after much more ransom and a different family hostage.
And a continued promise to stay allied with Rome.
For sure. So now Israel, a part of that northeast division, was ruled by Emperor Antiochus.
Better known as Antiochus Epiphanes.
A name he himself chose because Epiphanes means God manifest, indicating his utmost abominable arrogance.
So, essentially, he was calling himself God.
Yes. Later on, the people called him Epimanus, which means madman, in response to his cruelty. So he is a type of the Antichrist who was raised and residing in Rome when called to return to his district to be king. So essentially, he was a Roman with a Greek ancestry.
So his ancestors were not Syrian or Arab.
Correct. And we point that out because many want to say the Antichrist will be a Muslim, but it's not likely, especially since Daniel 9:28 says the Antichrist will be from the same peoples who destroyed the temple after Jesus was cut off. So therefore, the Antichrist must at least have a strong connection to Rome. And as we have said often, we believe many things will revert back to the time of when Jesus walked.
As in, there will also be a Jewish temple.
Yes, because the Jews are still looking for their Messiah, and so they need a temple.
Yeah, interesting that America was not known at that time either.
That's right. Check out Jeremiah 30:11, and we've talked about that many times before. Anyhow, Antiochus IV was very charismatic and came in peacefully with a lot of flattery.
Also prophesied in Daniel 11:21.
Yes. He even paid all the back taxes for Syria and the surrounding Roman provinces that were beginning to gain more power. Now, others were vying for the rulership of this district, but Antiochus Epiphanes attained it because, well, everyone liked him, and they liked his style.
And the people will love the coming Antichrist, who will be the world leader as well.
Yes. And Antiochus, as will the Antichrist, made a treaty with Israel's leader, who then was the high priest Jason, and only to break it a few years later, as also prophesied in Daniel 11:23, when Antiochus appointed Menelaus, as the new high priest.
Wasn't he a Hellenizer?
I believe so, which is actually a Greek converting to Judaism, in name only, of course. But Jason wanted his title of high priest back, so his army, while Antiochus Epiphanes was away invading Egypt, fought Menelaus, oh well, to recapture his position. Now this infuriated Antiochus, who quickly returned to Jerusalem, and in 169 BC, he just went on a rampage and slew about 40,000 Jews.
Yeah, you know, and he sold a bunch of them into slavery too.
Yeah. And he also made the ultimate abomination by putting his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple, and declared himself God, demanding everyone's worship, killing anyone caught reading the Torah or keeping any Jewish law, including circumcision.
Yeah, you know, he even forced them to eat pork.
And he boiled pig's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple and offered swine on the altar.
Stole the temple's sacred vessels.
So stopping their worship. Later, Jesus himself refers to Daniel's writings and confirms Antiochus Epiphanes' abominations as a typology for the end days in Matthew 24:15.
Saying the Jews will experience this again.
That's right. Prophesied in Daniel 9 and in chapter 12.
Well, along with the Antichrist's destruction.
Praise the Lord, as Revelation 19 says.
So how did his reign finally end?
Well, many very scared Jews gave in and even assimilated into the Greek culture. And many even worshipped the idol to escape their death. Yet, a remnant held strong, for which they underwent great torments like whippings that would tear their bodies to pieces and even more horrendous torture, according to the first century historian Josephus. Finally, Mattathias from the priestly tribe, with his five sons from the family of Hasmon, rebelled and started the first war for religious freedom, a heroic revolt, killing many, even a fellow Jew, because they caught him worshiping at the pagan statue, along with killing the emperor's commissioner who was overseeing it. So you might say, why would they kill one of their own instead of just rescuing him? Well, because even though the Jews were forced, the Maccabees felt the Hebrews should have gone to their death before worshiping a false god. And that would apply to us today as well. Also, very soon, those new believers in the tribulation will have to choose whom they will serve or die. And most will, according to Revelation 6. Anyhow, obviously God gave the Maccabees, well, much wisdom, courageous strength, and a lot of chutzpah. Anyhow, they moved quickly to form their army by fleeing to the hill country along with anyone willing to join for training to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, their father, who was very old by this time, he actually died in the first year of the Maccabean revolt and was succeeded by his son, Judah. Well, what a name. And, of course, a type of Jesus, and was also known as the Maccabee, as we said, meaning hammer. For he had to be like a hammer because Antiochus's army was considered the mightiest in the world at that time. Anyhow, the Maccabeans, well, you know the story. They were victorious. They ousted the evil king and his army, just as Jesus will conquer the Antichrist army when he returns. And we see that again in Revelation 19. It's a great chapter. Everyone should read it. After that, Antiochus was called Antiochus Epimanus, meaning madman, for he soon became literally insane and died. Of course, the Jews were elated over this miraculous defeat. But that is not the real reason for Hanukkah. Their joy soon turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's awful abomination. You know, the pig all over the place, and it was just awful. But they got right to work, and on the 25th of Kislev on their calendar, which on our calendar is December 2nd at sundown this year, Sunday. Back in 165 BC, though, the temple had finally been cleansed and it was ready to be rededicated. However, when it came time to light the seven-branched menorah, which, by the way, Scripture demands must remain lit all the time. It wasn't to go out. But they could only find a small flask of the undefiled processed oil, and it would only be enough for about one day. Well, this special consecrated oil, which, by the way, if you want to read it, is described in Exodus 27. Well, it would take like a week to process because it had to be hand-beaten pressed olives without the use of any heat. Now, we still do that today, and it's called cold-pressed. And by the way, just a little tip, always buy cold-pressed virgin olive oil. It's much better for you, and as a nutritionist myself, I think you should take one tablespoon every day. It's good for you. Okay, anyway, here's the real miracle of Hanukkah. Remember that lighted menorah that was supposed to stay lit all the time? Well, this oil that should have only lasted for one day, amazingly, stayed lit for 8 days. I mean, they kept watching this menorah and they couldn't believe it. It just kept going. And so after a week, they actually finished the process. So it's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that most Jews everywhere today, even Christians like myself, well, we light a consecutive daily candle. And this is on a 8+1 or a 9-branched candlestick holder. Now, the middle light is called the servant candle. And it kind of represents the Messiah, by the way, but we'll get into that next week. But this servant candle would be to light the other candles, and you would go from right to left each sundown for 8 nights. And by the way, this candlestick holder is called a Hanukkiah. And we're going to, again, pick that up on an even bigger miracle next week surrounding Hanukkah. But meanwhile, why not light your own Hanukkah candle each evening, beginning Sunday, that's December 2nd, and say a prayer with your children about how blessed we are to know Yeshua, our light of the world. What a great example to do that with your children. Teach them about the feast, all of them. That's why it got lost to Christians, because nobody was explaining it in the deeper meaning. So, what about you? Could you be a martyr for Christ? Is Jesus Christ really Lord over your life? Well, if not, he's knocking right now. Just repent and ask him into your heart. Be sure that your relationship with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. And I'm always asked, well, how do I know for sure? Well, if Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more, actually with a passion. And that means you must be in his word, because that's the only way you can know him more and to be in his presence, because they wrote it. John 1 says that Jesus is the word. So more word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. So crucify that lazy flesh and just do it. All right, let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways, every way. Psalm 122. And by the way, if you have a special prayer request, please send me a note and let me know, and I promise to pray for you. God bless. Till next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.